Okay. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the 3 o'clock meeting of the Committee on Environment and Energy. I note for the record, it is now 3:09. We have a working quorum of Legislator Avenanti, Legislator Myers, and myself. We are going to take our agenda in reverse order today. We'll take up the resolution on the Marcellus Shale in the second half of the meeting. We have an added starter which has some urgency to it, which is dealing and getting an update with the Bronx River oil spill. So we are joined today by Rick Morrissey, Deputy Commissioner of Environment, Health, and Safety. Why don't you please join us at the table, and if you've got a colleague, please come on up. Thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on your promotion. Well deserved. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much.
And would you identify yourselves for the record, please?
I'm Rick Morrissey, Deputy Commissioner, Environmental Health Services, Westchester County Department of Health.
Frank Guido, Assistant Commissioner, Westchester County Health Department.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll be joined by a couple other legislators momentarily, but we've got enough to get started. So basically, you know, we know this just happened last week. A lot of this is still fresh. But you know, we're looking for an overview, if it's not too premature on the cause. If you could give us a scorecard on the response to date, what you think the environmental impacts may be short-term, long-term, and any other information you can share with us. How is the coordination between the county and the state? All of those things. So we'll give you some time to make your presentation, and then we'll ask some questions from this end.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just start off by saying the coordination between our Office of Environmental Health Risk, Scarsdale Fire Department, White Plains Department of Public Works, White Plains Police Department, DEC, EPA, and Coast Guard, all parties have been working very closely and diligently together. This began at 7:30 on Wednesday morning. We received a call in our administrator on call. That's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service where you get a live person to respond to environmental and other health concerns. They were notified by the Scarsdale Fire Department that a jogger had reported smell of oil in the Bronx River. So at 8 a.m., our staff, they were on their way to work to begin at 8:30 anyway. They detoured over to Scarsdale, met with the fire department, and confirmed the large spill of what appeared to be oil in the Bronx River. DOH staff began to assess the extent of the spill and notified the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Do we know, if I can just interject, sure, what the extent, what the actual volume of the spill was?
It's estimated at about 200 gallons of number 6 fuel oil. But until testing results are back in, which we do not have to confirm that, we can't do that.
Okay, thanks.
So at 9 a.m., at 8 a.m., we met with on-site with the Scarsdale Fire Department and began to trace the source of the oil spill. Staff went up the Bronx River and traced it back to an outflow at exit 21 on the Bronx River Parkway. That's Main Street in White Plains. We immediately set up an incident command where the health department staff on site was the incident commander. At 10 a.m., staff worked with the White Plains DPW because this came out of a stormwater culvert into the Bronx River. So we worked with the White Plains DPW, got their plans for where the stormwater drains were, and then began working backwards to try to find out where the spill emanated from. So that entailed going to sewer manhole covers and popping those off and sticking pads down there to see if there's any residual oil on the pads. And this continued for quite some time. And we tracked this fill through downtown White Plains while working with DEC on the river, the City of White Plains, police and fire department, and building department. DEC at this point hires a contractor, Tri-State Environmental, and they began cleanup on the Bronx River. We also
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is the time roughly between the spill is discovered and the company is hired and the cleanup begins?
All right, well, 7:30 was the call to the Department of Health. We notified DEC around 8 a.m. And then by 10 a.m., the environmental firm is contacted, and they came down and began cleanup. They are located in Thornwood, I believe.
Okay, so it's DEC, then, who is responsible for hiring that company.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And as I mentioned, the other part of our staff is still down there with the Scarsdale Fire Department booming the river, even before the contractors got there. So about 10:50, White Plains PD announced that there was a possible environmental crime in progress, and we transferred incident command over to the White Plains Police Department, and they had the unified command at that point. And the District Attorney's Office became involved at that point as well. 11 o'clock, the DOH staff continued to track down the spill through sewers. They were joined by the Police Department, who helped us with traffic control and witnessing the actions of the investigation. 1 o'clock, we target the spill coming from 235 South Lexington Avenue. Was identified as where the spill was emanating from. It's a large apartment building. Super that they spoke with stated a small spill occurred at the building yesterday. Staff found oil in the sump pump, and DOH staff, our department staff, directed the super to turn off the sump pump because up until that time it was still pumping any remains of oil that was in the sump. At this point in time, which is 1 o'clock, there are many sets of booms in place on the river. Contractor is using a vacuum truck to pick up the oil. Thursday, staff assisted with sampling and monitoring of the cleanup. So samples were taken. And then Friday, we began our dye test to confirm the sources and to draw a line between the building and the Bronx River. And I would just like to add that tracking a spill like this is very laborsome, as you can imagine. You're following a trail, underground trail, that you can't see. I think our staff acted very timely, very professionally, and tracked the source of the spill down in a number of hours. I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, just a couple of things, and then we'll certainly open it up. Is there still cleanup work going on, or is it officially cleaned up, or are we still doing remediation?
DEC, I believe, would be the entity to say when the cleanup was completed, but it continued over the weekend.
Okay. And the damage, is it too early to assess short-term and long-term damage?
Well, we know that some wildlife was affected. Greenberg Animal Control picked up a few geese, and some of them expired. And they were being held for testing to verify that, in fact, was the oil a contributing factor.
Okay. Now, just as background, can you give the committee just an overview on the relationship between DOH's responsibilities and DEC's responsibilities and how you coordinate with each other?
All right. The Department of Health is responsible for monitoring environmental conditions within Westchester County. We call in DEC when there are environmental impacts, water courses, wildlife involved, and this case is a perfect example of where all these different elements came into play.
We work together on spills, so there's two more spills that DEC staff can handle in Westchester. So we're generally on the scene first, and as in this case here, where we think we could use their assistance, we call them.
Okay, thanks. And then the last question I have at this time, and then I'll turn it to my colleagues. Do we know what the heck happened? I mean, was this pure negligence? Was it an equipment malfunction in the basement of this building?
Yeah, what was discovered was that the there's a 12,800 gallon tank, number 6 fuel oil, in the basement. It has a secondary containment built around it, and the spill did not emanate from that tank. So there's no PBS violation involved in this. That tank was last certified and inspected in 2009.
Yeah, because you guys do a pretty robust inspection regime. So.
Yeah, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And what we did, excuse me, track it back to was a, in the boiler room, attached to the furnace is a preheater. It heats the number 6 oil before getting injected into the burner. And that malfunctioned. When that malfunctioned, it kept pumping oil onto the floor, into the storm drain, into the sump, and the sump pump kicked on and pumped that fuel out into the storm drains. So what is indicated here is that preheater of the fuel oil somehow malfunctioned. Work was done on it relatively recently, according to our investigation.
Okay, now you mentioned for the big 12,000 gallon tank, there's a some sort of a device around it that even if there were a spill would contain it. There's some sort of containment device. Based on this incident, would you suggest that we need to look at similar containment devices for the actual boiler equipment itself, or
it's really not practical. You can't do that. This type of incident is not very common where you see oil coming out of the furnace as it had. We're still investigating and still trying to find out how that happened. But generally, most of the leaks that do occur and spills that occur from tanks or the pipes directly with the tanks. This is unusual in that regard, and I don't know how you could prevent this other than being aware of odors. As soon as they saw a spill, they should report it to us so we can go in and see. They may have caught it with a local incident, but not knowing how the far-reaching impact it has had. So the best way is awareness and early reporting.
Okay, I know for the record we're joined by Legislator Ryan. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Legislator Myers and then Legislator Abenanti.
Just to piggyback on your question, when my ears went up at the word sump pump, but this was a legal, had that been just water,
right,
that would have been fine. It would
non-issue,
have been
correct.
Right, just pumped right into the Bronx River.
Correct.
But the fact that this was oil. Is there no fine that can be associated with this then?
That's a separate issue, and it's one that's also currently being investigated by other agencies. So I don't know how much we can.
That was the DA and the White Plains Police Department,
right? Right.
So it would become a criminal infraction as opposed to...
It could. I mean, if you look at sump pumps in general, not here, a sump pump that receives, as you said, groundwater should be discharged to a storm drain.
Right.
A sump pump that's going to receive sewage or contaminated liquids like oil and gas or any of those should there should be a limit to that, how much it receives, but that should go to the sanitary sewer.
Right.
So the sump pump and the drains there in this basement are all connected to the storm drain system, which goes right to the Bronx River.
And is that legal?
Yeah, well, it was designed to handle
stormwater.
Water, right, in the basement of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that it was the pre-burner that malfunctioned and spilled oil, that obviously that was a non-intentional.
And is it legal to have a pre-burner?
They come with the
boilers.
The pumps, the sump pump and the pump drain, and all of those are still being looked at as far as legality and appropriateness and so forth.
Thank you.
All right, so getting back to your question, too, and my original question, you would not recommend any sort of a physical device in terms of containment around equipment to prevent this sort of thing from happening again?
I can't think of anything that's practical. If you look at this particular building here, the furnace is 3 rooms away from the tank, and I don't know how.
So all that piping could, if that went at any time,
right?
Diligence and being vigilant about your equipment. It's probably the best measure to prevent this type of thing happening in the future.
Now I had just read anecdotally in the press accounts of people in the building saying they had smelled oil. So this gets back to your point about vigilance. Have you heard any of those points that people had smelled oil and perhaps maybe someone in the building was not as vigilant or as attentive as they should have been? Or
this is still under investigation.
That's still under investigation. Yeah. Okay. Legislator Avenanti, Legislator Ryan, questions?
Just a couple. This was number six, heating oil?
To the best of our information at this point. We don't have results of tests yet.
What is the building heated with, six?
Yes.
Does that flow, or does that need to be preheated to be able to flow? Is it like number 10? I mean, is it that thick?
It's thick, not as thick as that, but it needs to be preheated to be burned. It does flow. It doesn't flow very readily, but it's a little hard to clean up once it does flow because it sticks to everything.
Okay. You were talking about secondary containment. What type of secondary containment is there in place?
There's a concrete barrier there, so if the tank does leak, it'll be contained before spilling out.
But this is several rooms away from the tank.
The furnace doesn't have any secondary containment. The tank itself, the above ground tank, does have containment around it.
Right. Okay. Is there any history either with this site or any of the people working on this site of having problems like this before?
There was a tank there. The previous tank had a tightness test failure years ago, and it was replaced. So it was the current tank that's been there.
Okay. There was some newspaper report about, newspaper report that there was a repair to this device just a few days before. Is there anything to that?
That's being investigated.
But we don't know so far?
No. And that investigation, again, is being done by the DA and the police department.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Thank you. I'm sorry, Tom.
No, I think that's it. I mean, I think it's great to have an update. I think we're just going to have to wait to see what happens. I mean, fortunately, we don't have to go down 5,000 feet to use special equipment to cap it. It's right here, and you can see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How far down the river did the... I do have a couple of environmental questions,
sure.
I guess. How far down the river did the deterioration reach, the oil reach?
It got past Scarsdale, so we're probably looking at, three, four lineal miles, I'd say. Mm.
It seems to me I read someplace that there was a reference to Crane Avenue. South of Crane.
Well, Crane Road is where we first stopped to investigate it. So yeah. we've set up booms to stop it there. So maybe a little got passed, but that's kind of like where our first barrier was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just for the record, we've been joined by Legislator Testa. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think that's it.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Absolutely.
And what is being
absolutely.
Done to clean up? What is the cleanup program specifically?
Well, there's still booms and pads being put out, and I don't think
so. It's just absorption.
Yes, that's all we can do at this point.
And they had the vacuum truck, where they vacuum in the water and
right.
Where does all of that stuff go? Once you've collected it, what do you do with it?
It has to go to a hazardous waste disposal.
And right now, who's paying for all of this?
Right now, the state is paying for that, but they hope to be reimbursed.
From the building?
From the source. Spiller.
Yeah.
Whoever they find responsible.
All right, whether it's the contractor or the building or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Gotcha. Any questions, gentlemen?
Gentlemen, this type of thing, I know we're concerned about it because the county... has a central role of assistance that it will play to help municipalities deal with this kind of thing. But how often does this occur each year around Westchester?
Well, what you're talking about are petroleum spills.
Right.
And just judging by the number of spill violations we issue, I'm going to say upwards of 50 spill investigations a year.
Mm-hmm. But not generally, if I may.
Not
sitting on the Board of Health where we review these, it's not generally into a body of water like this.
No,
it's usually on the ground next to the tank.
Car crashes, tanker truck rollovers.
We're generally able to get there soon enough where we can stop it. getting good quality water. Mm-hmm.
That's why we're prepared with some remediating equipment, like these booms. We get right there, and if there's a water course nearby, that's where we take our intervention.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. This was a great update. Good work. Quick response. We appreciate it. I would ask a couple of things. One, when you have more information based on the results of the investigation, if you have any other information on potential long-term environmental impacts, if you'd come back. And I would just like to follow up on what Legislator Ryan was talking about. You know, you epitomize what county government is. You are the regional government to support municipalities in events just like this, and congratulate you on a job well done. And it's unfortunate that we need to be vigilant about these things, and you know, these things do happen, and we were prepared, and that's the job of county government. So we thank you, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thanks. All right, for the record, we've been joined by Legislator Kaplowitz, and now we're going to go back to, as I say, our regularly scheduled programming. As you know, we've had two meetings already on the Marcellus Shale and hydrofracking. We've had testimony from the industry representatives were here last time. We've had testimony from Riverkeeper. We've all been emailed the PowerPoint that some of us, Legislator Kaplowitz and I, attended at the Greenberg Nature Center. From some folks from upstate New York who've been following this issue. So we sort of took a straw poll, and many of the legislators felt that some sort of resolution was in order, particularly about protecting the watershed. There was some sentiment that it was not necessarily our role to be dictating to other counties what sort of economic development or environmental policy that they should have, and I would tend to agree with that. So this is the third iteration of the resolution, and basically what it calls for is a ban on this procedure in the watershed, and it calls for a moratorium until more study is done throughout the state. So this is the third draft of this. Chris Crane and his staff have been working on this, incorporating legislative comments and as well as comments from the industry and from the group. So if you'd like to take another minute to look this over, we'll give you a minute to do that, and then you know, let's have a discussion on this, and ideally we, you know, if people are ready, you know, and comfortable, we'd like to vote on this today. So
I had a question on two resolves that seem very similar. I don't know if we needed them both.
Sure.
Which asking the state to ban the hydrofracking operations, and then again asking the state to ban it specifically in the Catskill and Delaware watersheds. Is there a reason to have it?
I think one was the second one should be a ban, and what was the language I just used? The first one was a moratorium until there's more story. Yeah. Okay. So I would suggest that people are comfortable that the first resolve say moratorium instead of ban.
What's this ban pending? So you want to make that a moratorium?
Either ban pending. Well, because we use ban in the next one. So requests.
Impose a moratorium?
Impose a moratorium.
Pending also?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman,
where it says ban is what.
The other, I'm talking to Susan Leifert, is that what I'm saying, and others, she was saying pending EPA resolution, that evidently federal EPA is on this issue. And so when we just put pending completion of further independent scientific assessments, it could be just some reference to either the EPA specifically, the DEC specifically, and other governmental entities. You know, just tie that in to the piece there, because that's some of the protection we have.
Okay, do you want to propose language there?
Yeah, you request the state to, what did you put in terms of to declare
a moratorium.
Impose a moratorium pending completion of further independent scientific assessments and review by EPA.
Among others,
And it would be actually not just review of, but it would be final and final review by EPA, DEC, and other relevant governmental bodies.
Okay, do you have that, Chris?
Yeah, must have been.
All right, can we reread that one more time?
Yeah, just scientific assessments and final approval?
Review.
Final review by EPA, DEC, and
other relevant bodies.
Government bodies. I mean, final review is final review. That's all approved. They just say, okay, when we've done our final review, you make a decision. But here's everything laid out. Mm-hmm. And typically, if it's bad, then it's bad. If it's, but at least it gives the facts for all the entities. So I think that was the one concern she had. And
okay.
Brings that in.
Okay, perfect. We'll accept both those as friendly amendments. Any other comments on this? Okay. Well, that was easy.
Well, so this is week three.
Yeah.
So. There's no
motion by Legislator Abinanti.
It should be noted for the record.
Second
this is the longest, Tessa. The most whereas in any resolution. I think.
You know, we like to keep them to 2 pages, but this one was a complex one. Would like to thank everyone on the committee and staff, everybody who contributed to this. I think we were fair. We brought the industry in. We gave them a full meeting to state their position. And they're in a tough position. The economy in upstate New York is really in a pickle. And jobs are needed. And we feel for them. And it's not for us to tell counties what they should and should not do as far as economic development. But, gosh, the environmental evidence is pretty strong that this is pretty risky stuff. So I think this is a balanced resolution, and I think it serves us well. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, anyone, any nays? No nays? So, all right, so that's unanimous. And then we've got, now I see on the agenda, 3 weeks of minutes. I have 1 week of minutes.
Okay. I have one more set.
Oh, okay.
That's what I have.
Oh, okay. So we have two sets.
We'll get it the next time.
All right. One was the drinking water with IMAs. Here we go. Mike.
Yep.
Judy.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, you got it?
Oh, that one you got?
I didn't get that one.
No, he just
gave it.
Yeah,
to you.
That wasn't.
Okay, so do we have a motion on the two sets of minutes, and then we can go back and if people find corrections or changes.
I can move the one that I read 10th so far.
Okay, do we have a second on that one?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved by Legislator Myers, seconded by Legislator Testa, and then the Marcella Shale.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Legislator Myers. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you, Legislator Testa. Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, do we have any other new business? Okay, I think we informed the committee last time. We gave you an update on the IMAs with the ultraviolet water process. So we are going to be having a committee of the whole on that very shortly. Because that will be above the bond cap, and all legislators need to be abreast of that. So as soon as we know more on that, we'll let you know. All right. So being no other, Chris.
The comment session on the tree cutting program, mm-hmm. So that ends on next Wednesday.
All right. Are you and Stu going to have our comments ready?
I'm working on some written ones.
Right.
Yes. And they're... should be a public hearing as well a little bit later, I think, at the end of June or July is what...
Okay, I think we told everybody that Legislator Rogowski and I, along with Chris Crane and Stu Glass, went down and we met with the Public Service Commission commissioners on this, and they were aghast when they saw the photos, and they wanted formal comment from us, so Chris and Stu are working on that now. But thank you all for advancing that, because the commissioners were very appreciative of us coming down, and we were appreciative of them taking the time, and it was a very... And Legislator Kaplowitz was in on by phone, I should not neglect to add. So, has everyone signed the resolution? Okay, so with that, at 3:40, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.